Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Long Descent: A User's Guide to the End of the Industrial Age by John Michael Greer, is a non-fiction work of ecological history, peak oil analysis, and social criticism. Its central purpose is to explain why industrial civilization is unlikely to continue on its current energy-intensive path, while also challenging the popular assumption that collapse must arrive as a single dramatic event. Greer argues that the decline of industrial society is better understood as a long, uneven process shaped by resource depletion, economic contraction, political failure, and cultural denial. The book combines historical comparison with practical reflection, asking readers to think in terms of decades and generations rather than election cycles or disaster scenarios. It is not a technical survival manual, but it does offer a framework for adaptation through lower energy living, local competence, community resilience, and psychological preparation. Its distinctive contribution is a sober middle path between optimistic faith in progress and apocalyptic fatalism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, industrial decline as a prolonged historical process rather than instant collapse. Greer frames the end of the industrial age through comparison with earlier civilizations that declined over long periods rather than disappearing overnight. This is one of the book's central corrections to popular collapse thinking. Instead of treating the future as a clean break between normal life and catastrophe, he describes a stair-step process in which complex systems shed costs, infrastructure decays, institutions lose effectiveness, and living standards contract unevenly. The concept often associated with his work, catabolic collapse, explains decline as a process in which societies consume their own accumulated capital when they can no longer support it through current energy and resource flows. This makes the descent irregular rather than uniform. Some regions, classes, and institutions may appear stable, while others are already deteriorating. The practical importance of this model is that it changes what preparation means. If decline is gradual, the relevant task is not simply emergency stockpiling, but learning how to live with repeated disruptions, lower expectations, and shrinking access to industrial systems. Greer, therefore, asks readers to think historically, because past declines show that social complexity can unravel slowly while still remaining deeply consequential. Secondly, cultural narratives of progress as obstacles to recognizing limits. A major argument in The Long Descent is that industrial societies are not guided only by economics, technology, or policy. They are also guided by stories about what the future is supposed to mean. Greer focuses especially on the modern faith in perpetual progress, the expectation that each generation will command more energy, more wealth, and more technological power than the last. In his view, this story makes resource limits psychologically difficult to accept, because decline is interpreted as a temporary problem to be solved rather than a structural condition to be faced. He also criticizes apocalyptic narratives, since they replace endless improvement with sudden destruction but still avoid the harder possibility of a long, ambiguous contraction. Both stories simplify the future. The progress narrative assumes that innovation will preserve current systems, while the apocalypse narrative assumes that complexity will vanish in a decisive break. Greer's approach is more demanding because it requires readers to abandon emotionally satisfying endings. By examining these narratives, the book becomes not only an energy analysis, but also a study of cultural perception. It argues that adaptation begins when societies stop demanding futures that match inherited myths. Thirdly, peak oil is a constraint on the industrial economic model. The book treats peak oil as more than a fuel supply problem. Greer uses it as evidence that industrial civilization depends on extraordinarily dense, cheap, and historically unusual energy sources. Modern transportation, global trade, mechanized agriculture, suburban settlement patterns, and large bureaucratic systems all presume abundant fossil fuel inputs. When those inputs become more expensive, less reliable, or harder to extract, the effects ripple through the whole economy rather than remaining confined to gasoline prices. Greer does not present energy descent as a single forecast with exact dates. Instead, he emphasizes the structural relation between energy and complexity. Industrial economies can afford their scale because fossil fuels subsidize labor, materials, logistics, and infrastructure maintenance. As that subsidy weakens, many activities that once seemed normal become economically fragile. This reasoning distinguishes the book from purely environmental critiques, because the issue is not only ecological harm, but also the inability of a high-energy civilization to reproduce itself indefinitely. The implication is that many proposed solutions fail if they assume the same level of energy abundance that created the problem. Greer, therefore, calls for realistic expectations about contraction rather than promises of seamless substitution. Fourthly, local competence and household adaptation as realistic responses, Greer is skeptical that large centralized programs can reverse the trajectory of industrial decline, especially when political and economic institutions remain committed to growth. This does not lead him to passivity. Instead, he shifts attention to individuals, households, and local communities as the scales where meaningful preparation can still occur. The book encourages practical adaptation to a lower energy world through skills and habits that industrial abundance has made seem outdated. Examples include organic gardening, handicrafts, repair skills, simpler technologies, basic health competence, and stronger local relationships. The reasoning is practical rather than nostalgic. A society with less surplus energy will have less capacity to move goods long distances, replace broken objects cheaply, or provide every service through specialized institutions. Skills that appear inefficient under conditions of abundance can become valuable when supply chains weaken and money buys less. Greer does not present these measures as a way to escape decline entirely. Their purpose is mitigation, not rescue. They reduce dependence on fragile systems and preserve useful knowledge during contraction. This gives the book a grounded dimension, even though it is more a strategic guide than a detailed manual for self-sufficiency. Lastly, spiritual and psychological preparation for living through contraction. One distinctive feature of The Long Descent is its attention to the inner consequences of civilizational decline. Greer treats the end of industrial expansion not only as a material event, but also as a crisis of meaning. People raised to expect progress may experience contraction as personal failure, political betrayal, or cosmic injustice. This emotional dimension matters because denial, rage, and fantasy can prevent practical adaptation. The book's discussion of spirituality is not primarily about persuading readers to accept a specific doctrine. Rather, it points to the need for disciplines, values, and communities that help people remain steady when inherited expectations collapse. In this sense, spiritual preparation means learning how to live with limits without interpreting them only as defeat. It also means preserving ethical responsibility when institutions weaken and future prospects narrow. This element may not appeal equally to all readers, but it explains why Greer resists purely technical solutions. A lower energy future requires more than tools and skills. It requires a changed understanding of purpose, status, comfort, and obligation. By including this dimension, the book broadens the discussion of resilience beyond infrastructure and economics. In conclusion, The Long Descent is best suited for readers interested in peak oil, ecological limits, civilizational history, and practical resilience. Especially those dissatisfied with both optimistic technology-centered solutions and dramatic doomsday predictions. It will benefit readers who want a conceptual framework for understanding why industrial society may contract over time and why that contraction is likely to be uneven, confusing, and politically difficult. Its practical value lies less in step-by-step instruction than in helping readers choose sensible priorities, reduce dependence on fragile systems, rebuild local skills, question assumptions about endless growth, and prepare psychologically for lower material expectations. Compared with many books in the collapse and sustainability genre, Greer's work stands out for its historical scale and its refusal to treat the future as either business as usual or instant disaster. It connects energy depletion, cultural mythology, institutional limits, and personal adaptation in a single argument. Readers looking for detailed technical plans may need supplementary guides, but those seeking a clear map of the problem will find this book especially useful. Its enduring relevance comes from the way it reframes decline as a long social process that can be met with realism, discipline, and selective preservation rather than panic. And if you would like to support John Michael Greer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.